Why don't you stand with me and I'll pray and then we'll get straight into it. How does that sound? Okay, Father, wow. We are undone by you. We are overwhelmed by you. And we know that we are adored by you. So tonight, here's what I ask. I just ask that you would completely just kind of navigate this whole time together. That you would bring us where we need to go, that you would speak to us how we need to hear you, that we have come expecting for you to move in our lives, that we would hear your word and then take it with us, and that we would go and be doers of the word that you give to us. And so tonight, I just ask, Holy Spirit, you would continue to move as you already are, that you would completely have your way, that you would transform us from the inside out so that we can transform our world. And we just thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Who loves these people, all of them? You are so pretty. Look at this. I wanna be like you when thank I grow you. Older.
I wanna be like you all the time.
Can we be like best friends
be
forever?
Like each other, yes.
Yeah.
Woo!
She's beautiful. You're all beautiful. Thank you. You guys are awesome. Can you give a hand to every volunteer that just set up out there? Isn't it beautiful out there? Who loves Christmas music? Who plays Christmas music way too early and it makes people mad at you? I'm not a Pharisee. I'm okay with it, you guys. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so is there anyone in here that's just slightly competitive? Anyone at all? A little bit competitive? Yeah, I love it. The competitive people are always like, yes, I am. Well, you know, in Brooklyn where I live, we have a block party every single summer. And all of the blocks in Brooklyn, they shut down for a day and we all have our turn. And the Third Street block party is quite a block party. We go from 9 in the morning till midnight and we are crazy town. Like, my kids think it's the best thing ever because they're on their scooters, they're on their skateboards, they're on their everything in the middle of the street. And they're like, wah! You know, I'm doing head count all day long trying to find them. Well, in the block party, there's many different things that we do, but one of them is the egg toss. And I am not always competitive. Okay, I am. She called me out. But when I get into something, I do want to win. I'm not going to lie to you. And so my son Jesse, his little friend was like, will you do the egg toss with me? I was like, are you ready for this? Yes, I will do the egg toss with you. You guys, we almost got near the end, but I just have a little video for you to show you just a little bit of what comes out of me in competitive moments and how I don't like to fail. Slow motion. Yeah. Watch the lady behind me. She thinks I'm crazy. Here it comes. I'm gonna win. I'm a winner. I'm the best. No, I close my eyes and I drop the egg. But that's not all. The girl behind me, she's like, oh no, I thought you were gonna win. Lose. Total failure. So no, but who is the competitive people? Any perfectionists in the room that just, yeah. Mm. And the rest of you avoid both of those people. Right? Yeah. You're like, I ain't coming around those people. That's cool. I'm not going to compete. I don't need to do that. You guys are crazy. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time when, I mean, this is obviously a joke. Like, that's a joke. But I've been thinking a lot lately about what we do, especially as women, when we publicly fail or we walk through something that's really hard. A lot of times as women, you know, it's like there's the line for guilt and we line up twice. It's like, I feel so guilty. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I'm not good enough. We line up as many, I'll get back in that line. And you can tell, you know, it's what we do. And when we fail, whether it's publicly or privately, we're really hard on ourselves. And I got to thinking about Peter. I was reading the book of John just recently. And I was thinking about Peter, and Peter is an amazing man. Where does Peter get called from? Peter was fishing in a boat just like this. Just kidding. Way cooler than this. But Peter was fishing and he was going about his life, and Jesus calls him. He says, Peter, I want you to come from the life that you know and I want you to follow me. I'm gonna make you a fisher of men. You're not gonna fish for fish anymore. You are gonna bring men and women into the kingdom of heaven, but follow my life. So Peter is one of the most passionate followers of Jesus. He follows him. He's outspoken. He's like, I will die with you. I'm never gonna leave you. He has the moment where he's like, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's the one that a couple minutes later where he's like, no, you can't die that way. And Jesus is saying, get behind me, Satan. I mean, the man was outspoken. He followed him. He was zealous. He was passionate. But he was also one of the biggest public failures as well. They're sitting down at the Last Supper, and Jesus is confessing, or Jesus is talking about what's about to happen. And Peter is there, and he's going, oh, Jesus, I'm never going to leave you. I will be with you. And then Jesus says to him, actually, Peter, you know what? You're gonna deny me three times. Do you know what's interesting as you read that passage? Is that Peter doesn't deny that he's going to deny him. Peter goes quiet. It was like Jesus, like, Peter, I love you, but I can see your heart. And I know you're zealous and passionate, but what you're about to go through is something that, you know, you can't even comprehend until you're walking in it. And then when you get into the book of John, for the sake of time, we won't go there. It's John 18. You see that Jesus, or that Peter actually does deny Jesus three times. He follows him to the place where he was being beaten and he was being accused. And it's outside of there where Peter is standing, and a servant girl says, hey, aren't you one of those followers? I've seen you around Jesus. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he was by the fire again, and someone else says, no, you're one of those guys, and he denies him. And then actually it says that, you know how when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he lops off somebody's ear? Because he's like, no, Jesus, I'll fight. Well, he lops off somebody's ear, but it was actually a relative of that man whose ear that was cut off. He said, no, you're the guy that has been following Jesus. Like, nope, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the rooster crows, and he's devastated. And then Jesus dies on the cross, and then you fast forward and we get to this moment where, for the sake of time again, I'm just gonna break down this story for you. In John 20, we see that Mary goes to the tomb. And when Mary gets there, she's like, wait a sec, he's not here. So it says, I love John. You've got to just laugh at the way, I think John and Peter had a competition. Because if you read the way John's like, the one that Jesus loved, and then the other guy, Peter. And so he talks about how they ran to the tomb, and that John's like, I got there first in front of Peter. Then Peter pushed past me. Peter pushes past John, goes into the grave, because I love that once again about Peter. He's like, no, I gotta touch this. I gotta feel this. I gotta see this. He gets in there and he's like, okay, he's not there. And then it says, and then John came in, but he won. He actually got there first. Well, you see that, right? And then Jesus appears to Mary, says, go tell the guys, go tell your brothers that I'm alive. So he goes back, or she goes back and tells him, and it says this. When you get into the word of God, let me just go there. It's interesting to me that after that, Mary goes back and tells them, on that evening, that same evening where Peter came and saw that Jesus wasn't there, that evening is the evening where Jesus comes and he appears to the disciples. What's interesting is Peter has denied him. Peter has had his awkward moment. You know the awkward moments in relationships? You're like, I'm not gonna do that. And then you do something and you realize there's a failure. There's something in between the relationship. And then that person shows up and you're like, I don't know how to talk to you right now. It's awkward that you just showed up. Everyone been at that party? You're like, oh, they're here? No? Okay. Well, Jesus shows up. And it doesn't say there's an interaction between him and Peter, but Peter sees that he's alive. And then we see that Thomas wasn't there, so Jesus shows up again about a week later. He's like, hey. Doesn't say that Peter and him interacted. But see, here's the deal. There are three moments where, see, Peter has denied him, but then Jesus shows up, he shows up, and Peter sees that he's not in the grave. So there's three moments where Peter could have interacted and connected with Jesus and said, will you forgive me for denying you? But there's no interaction, there's just the awkward silence. But Jesus is still showing up. Jesus is still there, even in the failure. But then this is where I want to pick up the story. Is in John 21. John 21. And this is Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Now I want you to keep this in mind of where Peter was called from. Peter was called out of the boat. Peter was called from fishing. But isn't it interesting that when we fail in life, we go back to the things that we were called out of? He's seen Jesus twice, and he's seen an empty grave once, but he still goes back to what is familiar. It says this in John 21, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. This is the third time Peter's gonna be seeing him by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but they caught nothing. Now here's a couple of things to notice. We've got to be careful that when we go back to what is familiar to us after we have failed, we got to look around and see, who am I bringing with me on this journey? Peter got back into the boat and these guys willingly said, you know what, we'll go with you. Sometimes when we go back into our familiar places after we've failed or we've messed up or we're in a season that we're not proud of, a lot of times we drag people with us. But what's interesting here is it says that they caught nothing. When we go back to our familiar spaces and places, when we maybe walk through pain or we go through something, whatever that looks like, when we go back to our familiar space, what we realize is that we catch nothing in those places because we were called out of that place. We were called in to a new life. It says, early in the morning, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, I love Jesus, haven't you caught any fish? I feel like this is what Jesus does. He's over on the shore and he's watching us. He's like, geez, I love them. I'm gonna say something that I already know the answer to. Hey, are you catching any fish over there? I already know, you're not. But he's there on the shore. And they say, no, no, they answered. No, I want to say something to you that we as women, the heart of a woman, where we are so hard on ourselves. We condemn ourselves, we walk in self-hatred, we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we walk in failure, we put ourselves back in these positions, in these familiar boats that we used to walk in that Jesus called us out of. But I wanna say something to you tonight that I need you to hear and I need you to walk in, is that failure is not fatal unless you go back to what is familiar and choose to remain there. Your failure is not fatal unless you choose to go back to what is familiar and then choose to remain there. See, because Jesus, he's standing on the shore over here going, how's it going back there in the familiar life that I called you out of? What's interesting here is the full revelation has not come to them yet, that Jesus died and he rose again, and we die with him and we rise again when we are born again. He calls us out of the life that we used to live and brings us into a life of grace and mercy and love. But here's what we do is, you know, we're looking on social media and we realize we're just watching all of the people get together. Looking on Instagram, we're like, oh, I'm not invited, not good enough. Can't believe I wasn't brought to the party. Oh, I'm watching their comments. Oh, your comments are so funny. I love how you guys love each other. You didn't invite me to come. And we come over here. I'm rejected. I've always been rejected. I should expect this. This always happens to me. We stay in this familiar boat. Meanwhile, Jesus is over there going, I haven't rejected you. But why don't you go ahead and stay in that boat? Because that's really working well for you. What about when, you know, we disappoint someone? Is there anybody out there that still hates disappointing your parents? It's like I'm a grown woman and I just disappointed my parents and I feel awful. Disappoint your spouse, disappoint your kids, disappoint your boss, disappoint, you know, whatever that looks like. And so what do? We come over here and we get into the guilt boat. I feel guilty. I should condemn myself. I disappoint everyone. I am an actual disappointment. So I'm just going to stay here and feel guilty because I should feel guilty. Meanwhile, everything that Jesus did over there, we're like, I'll just stay here in my boat. What about when our past comes back up in our face? The things that we went through, the pain and the suffering that we walked through. Maybe it's triggered by the fact that you're on your phone and you're hiding it, but you've got a pornography addiction. And you're just like, oh, okay. I'm just going to come back in the shame boat because the shame boat is where I belong. I'm a shameful person. Shameful, shameful. Shame on me. I'm going to wrap something around me and stay here because I deserve to be in shame. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I crossed that line. I can't believe I drank too much. I can't believe. But you know what? All the while, we have the power to get out of the boat and turn from our ways, but we're acting like, no, I deserve to stay in the boat. What about relationship failure? Oh, that's my favorite. We as women, man, we have so many unspoken expectations of each other and of the men in our lives. Read my mind. Know what I want. Know what I need. Oh, you hate me. Whoa, okay. You never told me what that unspoken expectation was. What if, you know, that engagement broke up? You walk through a divorce. You know, you have friendships with women that just aren't working because maybe there's just baggage around that. I don't know if it came from growing up or whatever that looks like when we come up here and we're like, I'm just going to put my familiar walls up and I'm going to isolate myself. I'm going to sit in the boat of isolation because this is familiar and I'm going to isolate myself. I'm out in a boat by myself. Don't talk to me. None of you. I'm going to have shallow relationships. I'm not going to get into a connect group because that means I have to talk to people. I am not going to get on a team because that means they're going to expect things of me. I am not going to have friendships because that means they're going to ask me hard questions and confront me when I'm wrong. I am not doing relationships. Here's my boat. Okay. Enjoy that. What about all the expectations that the world puts on us and then we take and put on ourselves when it comes to our weight, our hair, our looks, all of those things, the comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, and we go get back in that boat of distorted thinking when God loved making you in your mother's womb. He loves the color of your skin and the way your hair looks. He loves every single thing about you. He loved taking who you are and knitting it together, and we're like, I should be like this. I should be like this. I shouldn't be like this. Honestly, it breaks my heart. And we get back in this familiar boat of distorted thinking, and we sit in there thinking, I deserve to be here. I can't, you know, we get in there. What about yelling at your kids? Anyone ever done that before? I haven't. Just kidding. But we get into this place where I know for me, whenever I explode in anger at my kids, I come over here and I sit in the self-pity boat. I'm an awful mother. I am a horrible mother. Someone tell me how bad I am. I am the worst. I need to hear. When we sit in this boat, and ain't nobody gonna be able to get you out of the boat. And we sit in there and we go back and forth and back and forth into the boat. You just name it. What about the, I thought that I'd be there, but I'm still here? That's a trap. Because you're always looking out there for something that doesn't exist and you're not present to here. And so then you live in this constant state of disillusionment and disappointment instead of being present in the moment and to the people that God has placed in your world. And we think we're a failure, so we go back to what is familiar and we live this life of disillusionment. You see, Peter was disillusioned. Peter was heartbroken. Jesus had showed up in the room with him. You guys, Jesus can show up in the room with you. He lives in our hearts and we're still like, oh, I don't know if that's good enough. I'm just gonna go sit over here in the boat. He's like, hey, I'm here. Comparison. We sit in identity issues over there. What about setting the bar so high for ourselves that we constantly fail? And then we find ourselves in the boat of fear and anxiety and worry, and we're not moving because the bar's up here and we're always missing it. So we sit there and we toil and our stomachs are anxious and we don't know what to do. And we sit in the familiar boat that Jesus has pulled us out of through his life, his death, and his resurrection and given us a new life. Watching someone else live your dream. Sitting in the jealousy boat. I'm just gonna go sit in the jealousy boat. Just give me a couple days. I might come out. The I'll nevers, the lies that we believe. I'll never get married. I'll never have a baby. I'll never get to live my dreams. I'll never. So we sit in the boat of fear that keeps us stagnant and not moving forward. Meanwhile, Jesus is on the shore. And he's sitting here. And he's cooking us breakfast. We're sitting over in our familiar boat. We've gone back to what we knew because it feels safe. It feels right, but he is not safe. He's radical and his love is wild. And it's redeeming and it pulls you out of your familiar boat if you're willing to get out of it. Listen to this. Let's pick up the story in verse 6. He said, what did Jesus say? After like, yeah, this isn't working for us. I don't know about you. Is your familiar boat working for you? Is it transforming your life? No. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat. So I love this. He's like bringing the, isn't it interesting that Jesus is bringing them back to a familiar moment? So they're sitting in their familiar boat. He's like, I'm gonna bring you back to something familiar. It's the moment I called you. Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, speaking of himself, said to Peter, the one he's competitive with, it is the Lord. See, I saw it first. As soon as Simon Peter heard what he said, it is the Lord. He wrapped his outer garment. See, Peter's a man of action. If he's gonna fail big, he's gonna fail big. If he's gonna win big, he's gonna win big. He got out, for he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in their boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning there, and coals and fish and some bread. So Jesus is sitting over here, he's watching. He's watching you in your familiar boat. He's loving you while you're sitting in your familiar boat. He's cooking you breakfast in your familiar boat. He's even shouting out, hey, remember what I called you from? This is actually what you can do. I'm gonna show you how to bring in what you need to bring in. And it says this, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. Jesus is calling you and reminding you that he didn't die just so that, you know, you could call on him. He's there all the time on the shores of your life. He is ready to sit and be intimate with you and close to you and remind you of who you are. He is cooking you breakfast. He is waiting going, is that working for you, babe? Is that familiar boat really causing you to flourish in life? Are you enjoying sitting in that and bringing people with you? What are we doing with our sisters? Where are we bringing them? So he sits here, but this is the best part. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Why is this so powerful? Because three times, Peter denied Jesus, and three times Jesus reinstated him. Three times Jesus reminded him, Peter, you don't belong over there fishing for fish. You are called to be a fisher of men. And what did he ask him to do? He said, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, my fish, my sheep, whatever name you want to put around it. You're not supposed to be over here doing that. You're supposed to be out here reinstated, taking care of my sheep, feeding my sheep, loving my sheep. Your failure is not fatal unless you choose to go back to what is familiar and remain there. Jesus is saying, don't remain there, Peter. I love you even though you failed. I love you even though you denied me. I love you. Peter, come over here and let me remind you who you are. Let me remind you of the life you were called out of. But see, what will we stay in? Because it's our choice. He gives us the gift of free will. He says, repent and turn from your ways. Walk in the identity and the nature that is Christ that you actually have to walk in. But it's like we cling to our old nature. He's like, no, I've given you a new nature. When you are baptized and you come back up, your old life is dead. Your new life has come. Attach yourself to Jesus and who he has made you. Get out of your familiar boat. A little while ago, my son, he started pre-K. So my youngest, Sam, he is hilarious. He's 4. He knows he's very loved. So we have to work on boundaries a lot. No, don't do that. So anyway, he started school, and he's a real joyful kid. We call him the joy bomb. He's just hilarious. Wherever you go, you're having a bad day. Here, Sam, you're going to be fine. But he's started school, and now he's angry. He's just testing out this anger thing. I was like, what are they teaching you at school? Just kidding. He's got a feisty mom as well. So anyway, the other day, he comes in my room. He goes, Mom, get me dressed. I was like, no, I'm doing my hair. You know how to get yourself dressed. He's like, get me dressed. I was like, whoa. Do not command me to get you dressed. You know how to get dressed. Take off your clothes, put on your underwear, put on your pants. I'm like, walking. He's like, I don't want to. And he starts to like lose it. And then he starts screaming. And my neighbors can hear all of this through the wall. It's really fun living in apartments. Woo, I'm like, sorry about that today. Hope you guys are good. I love my kids. So he starts to like yell, like, and he doesn't do this. So this is very new for us. And he's like, I don't want it. And I'm like, wow, okay. Well, upstairs, this is the fun area. We're having fun up here. Now, if you want to be angry, that's fine. But I don't want to be around that. So you can go ahead and go downstairs and be angry all alone. And when you want to come back upstairs and be fun to be with, you are welcome up here. We're like, look, we're having a party of fun up here. You can go downstairs and be angry. He's like, fine. And I was like, okay. He goes down there 40 minutes. He's 4 years old, you guys. Very strong. And he stands at the bottom of the stairs. I was like, are you ready to come back upstairs and be fun to be with? He goes, no. And he goes, I wanna be angry. And I was like, okay, see you later. So he goes back in there and he's just yelling like, ah! And we're all upstairs crying, laughing. I'm like, he is choosing this and we're up here having a great old time. Then all of a sudden he goes quiet, comes upstairs and he's like, hey. I'm like, and we're all like, yay, this is the fun area. He's like, I'm back. I'm not mad anymore. We're like, you're so strange and awesome all at the same time. But I was thinking about how often we do that, right? We come sit in our familiar boat of offense. Seriously, though, I know it's the same everywhere in America right now, and I'm just going to go there. There are so many things that we are choosing to be offended about. Now, there are some real things we do need to talk about, and I'm okay to talk about stuff.
But geez, can we be followers of Jesus, please? Because the thing is I am watching that in our Western world, that we are letting offense take us out. When we watch people that are in other nations, war-torn nations, that when they give their lives to Jesus, they know they're actually laying down their life and could die on that day. And we refuse to lay down our offense and try to understand each other. We may come from different points of view and backgrounds and all of those things, but I'm like, look, I don't get your life. I don't get your bias. I don't get what you, let's sit down at the table and let's have a conversation. Let's try to understand each other. But let's, honestly, I live in New York, guys, so it's all happening. But I love it. I love being in the middle of it. I love going, let's follow Jesus. Let's lay down our lives. Let's remember who we are. Let's get out of our boats of offense and things that are familiar and let us go and sit and have breakfast with Jesus and be reminded who we are and what we're called to, because here is the deal. This is what's really cool, is we choose, like my Sammy, to stay in our anger. But when we come upstairs, it's like, oh yeah, life is good. We can be together. We can be unified, even in our diversity. We can be unified in our different ways of thinking. Because who unifies us? Jesus Christ. So, we have a choice, don't we? Whether we want to get out of our boats or not. Just like my Sammy had a choice. I want to be mad. Okay, go ahead. But he's calling us out. And the interesting thing is we don't have time to go there, but I want you to, you go to the end of the book of John. He's reinstated, right? He's reinstated. Jesus cooks him breakfast, tells him three times, this is who you are, feed my sheep. You go to the very beginning of the book of Acts, and you see this said two times in the first couple of chapters. It says that Peter stood up. Peter stood up. Peter stood up twice. This is the coolest thing. He stood up among his peers. There was a moment where they needed a new apostle, they needed a new disciple because Judas was gone, and Peter saw the need. And Peter was reminded because Jesus told him who he was. He's like, that's not who I am. You told me that I'm called to feed your sheep, take care of your sheep, feed your sheep. I see a need here, so I'm gonna stand up amongst my peers and we're gonna take care of business right now. Then fast forward, Pentecost comes, Holy Spirit is given, Holy Spirit comes upon everybody, and then it is during the Passover, and all of these people are in Jerusalem, and he sees the lost sheep, and he takes the moment. He didn't sit down, he was like, there are all these people that need to hear the good news, and I am reinstated by Jesus, and I am called to feed the sheep. So Peter stood up, and thousands gave their lives to Jesus that day and were baptized because Peter got out of the boat that was familiar. He came and had breakfast with Jesus. He was reminded of who he was, and therefore he could stand up. And get the team up here. Because oftentimes we're frustrated and we're not walking in what God has for us because we refuse to get out of what is familiar. And Jesus is saying, come over here. Don't look to a person to tell you who you are. Look to me. And let me remind you of what you are called to and what you are reinstated to. And you are called to feed his sheep. We've got to stand up. We've got to stand up, girls. We've got to stand up together. We've got to stand up for each other, with each other. We've got to sit at a table and break some bread together in the times that we're living in. When we don't get each other, when we're mad at each other, we need to be like, whoa, I don't know why I'm offended, but I don't understand. There's a lot I don't understand, but there's a lot that I do want to learn about what your life has looked like, because my life has looked different. We need to be sisters. We do need to come together. Some of us need to just choose tonight to get out of this boat. You're sitting in your familiar boat and you're out here yelling at everyone, get me out of the boat! And Jesus is like, just so you know, it's not very shallow, or it's not very deep right here, you can just run right out, I'm right here. You're like, rescue me! He's like, already did, already done. But do you wanna come and sit with me, or do you wanna stay over there? Because I'm right here and I'm giggling going, is that working for you? He's like, I love you. We need to get out of our familiar boats. And you know what, can I tell you something? Getting out of your familiar boat is a lifetime thing that we have to do. Because we jump back in this thing all the time. So don't worry, it's not like, oh, tonight I got out of my boat and I'm good forever. Whoa, no, you just gotta recognize the boat. I'm back in the boat. You're not a failure. He redeems you, he restores you, he wants to sit with you and remind you who you are so that you can continue to stand up in your sphere of influence. Some of you need to go over and go, girl, you should not be in that boat. And I'm sorry if I led you to that boat. Sorry if we got in that boat together. Let's get out of the boat. But some of you, you know that first time that Jesus, he called Peter. He called the other disciples as well, but there's that moment where Peter was just living his life. And a whole people were waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue them. And Jesus stood on the shore, Matthew chapter 4 and many of the Gospels, and he stood on the shore. He said, hey, why don't you come? Follow me. And I'm gonna make you fishers of men. I know this is a life that you've known, but I'm gonna show you a new life. And he said these things like, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And for some of us, how much do we know? See, for me before Jesus, I was trying to make my own way in life, make it all happen for myself. I was trying to find my own truth and just align myself with whatever I thought was the right truth. I was trying to make a life for myself. And then Jesus comes and stands and looks me in the face. He's ready to cook me breakfast going, I love you. Why don't you get out of that life you've been living and follow me, follow my way. I am the truth, follow my truth. Come in and let me give you the life that you've been looking for. And for some of you tonight, for the first time, he is saying, you've been living your own life. You've been trying to make it on your own way in the world we live in. I mean, seriously, it's like, what's your truth? Oh, okay, great. That's awesome for you. It's like, no, he is literally saying, I am the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way into the Father's arms except through me. There are not many roads to heaven. And it says that the way is narrow. But the path is wide, and many people go on the wide path, but the way is narrow to find God. And he is saying, come through this pathway, come with me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to call you out of the life you've been living, trying to make for yourself and say, come follow me. Will it always be easy and amazing? No, guess what? When he calls you to follow me, he says, okay, now lay down your life. What? I'm just letting you know. This is the cost that we have to count when we follow Jesus. No longer do we get to be like, well, this is what I want, here's all my opinions, here's what I think we should do. He's like, no, lay those down and follow me. What do I say? Oh, man, but what a life. What a life here on earth and into eternity. There is a heaven and there is a hell. It is real. And he, in his mercy and kindness, wanted heaven. I love that. You didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down. Jesus came, heaven came to earth and said, now follow me into my Father's arms. So tonight I wanna pray for you. Some of you for the first time need to get out of that boat and follow Jesus. Be a Christian. Others of you, maybe you got back in the boat, you've been sitting there a little too long. You turn your back on Jesus, you're not following his ways, and it's time to come home and follow him again. So all over this place, just close your eyes for a moment, because I would love to pray with you right where you are. And if something is in you, is telling you, you know what? I'm gonna follow Jesus. I am gonna turn from my ways and I'm going to follow him. I'm gonna lay down my life tonight and rise up again, a new creation in Christ. Just as he was resurrected from death to life, my ways are being crucified tonight, and a new life, a new way, I'm gonna rise again tonight. I'm gonna follow Jesus. So all over this place, if that's you and you wanna follow him, you're saying, I wanna be a Christian, follower of Jesus Christ, you have turned from him, or this is the first time you are making this decision to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and I wanna pray for you right where you're sitting. So I'm gonna count to three in a moment, and is acknowledging, saying, yep, that's me, I wanna follow him. I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand when I count to three. So in one moment, if that's you, you want to follow him, lay down your life to rise up again with a new life in Christ. I'm going to pray for you right where you are at the count of three. One, two, three. Lift them up all over this place. Say, that's me. Yep, I see you here, all over this place, and here, and here, and here, and here, and here. Amen. Come on. Who else? Is anybody else that's saying, that's me? I want to follow Jesus. Come on. Amen. Okay, you can put your hands down. So every single hand that has been raised, what we're going to do right now, we are going to confess with our mouth what we have just believed in our heart to be true. And I want you to know that you are literally leaving behind your old life. All of the sin, everything that has gone on, Jesus saying, I have come to cleanse that and wash you clean. You are stepping into relationship with my Father, our Father in heaven. You are now Father, you are sons, you are daughters of the living God, and you are going to follow a new way. So as you pray this prayer, that is the declaration you are making. So why don't you repeat after me, those of you that raised your hand, and everybody else in the room, we're going to pray with them. So repeat after me. Say, Father God, thank you for sending your Son. Jesus Christ, to live and to die and to rise again in my place so that I could have eternal life. I am a new creation, a follower of Jesus Christ. Show me your ways, reveal your love to me, fill me with your Spirit, and show me your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Let's lift up a shout. Father, we just thank you for your salvation. We thank you that you are the way. We thank you that you have called us and set us apart. In Jesus' name. You know, there's one other thing before I just have Pastor Sharon come back up here, before she tells you. You know, first of all, if you made that decision, can I encourage you to get yourself into community? Because the thing is to follow Jesus, it's not a raising of the hand, it's a life that we live. And so we want to do that with you as a family. We're family here. And so Pastor Sharon will let you know what you can do next with that. But you know what? For many of us, you guys, we just needed to make a decision to get out of our familiar boats.
Boats, where am I from? Yeah.
Sometimes accents happen to me. We need to make a decision to get out of our familiar boats. There is no greater time where the body of Christ needs to be unified, rise up, get out of our boats, and see each other. Do you know that the world will know that Jesus is real, that we are true disciples and followers of Jesus Christ by our love for one another? But as long as we sit over here in our boats, isolating ourselves and not coming together and sitting with Jesus and hearing from him and then sitting with each other, man, can we just stand to our feet? There's many of you where Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and identifying the boats that you've been going back to that are familiar, and he's saying, come on out. I want to cook you breakfast. I want to remind you who you are. I want to reinstate you. I need you to stand up in your sphere of influence. I need you to stand up in your family. I need you to feed my sheep and love on those that are not yet home in the Father's arms. I need you to understand who you are so you can tell other people who they are. So if you need to get out of your boats, boat or boats, however many boats you may have that you jump into, I just want you to raise your hands and say, I'm getting out. Okay. Yep. Getting out of my boat because I need to hear you, Jesus, and not my own thoughts sometimes. My own condemnation. Come on. Lift them up. That's me. I'm getting out. Because he needs you to stand up and rise up. Father, we choose again, and we will continue to choose whenever we try to sneak back into our familiar boats after we fail at something or feel embarrassed or whatever, that we will continue to choose to get out of our boats and sit with you and have breakfast and be reminded of who we are so that we can continue to stand up and rise up amongst our peers and those that do not yet know you. Father, we want to be unified. We want to see each other, love each other, and get out of our boats of isolation and be together and commune with you and one another. Father, we choose to continue to do this, to be followers of Jesus Christ that laid down our lives, no matter what that looks like. And so we just thank you for who you are, how great you are, how amazing you are, and we put you back in your rightful place. We adore you and thank you for all that you have done. We will not merely be hearers of the word, but doers of the word in faith and in action. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.